HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
So today I'm delighted to be joined by Aisling Tallard. Aisling is former HR director and board member with SAP. She is the former HR director of O2 and established and led Telefonica's first European HR shared services organization here in Dublin, where Aisling, I'm sure it was a career highlight to recruit me. And she's currently CEO and co-founder of Our Tandem. Aisling, you are very welcome.
Thanks very much, Declan. And you're absolutely right. It was my career highlight to bring you on board.
And you're very kind. The check is in the post. Tell us a little bit, Aisling, about Our Tandem, what you guys do, why you guys exist.
Yeah, sure. So Our Tandem is a solution. It's a SaaS solution that helps organizations create really inspiring and those irresistible cultures that are engaging and great places to work. And we do that by touching every aspect of the employee experience, everything from performance management through to surveys, engagement, and indeed 360. So pretty much every point from employees' journey with their organization, we touch on and create a really engaging experience for them.
Fantastic. And obviously, when I invited you on to the podcast, I said to you I wanted to talk about performance management. And I know that was sort of a key thing you guys were working on when you were first founded, albeit you've developed the product since then. In terms of the current state of performance management in companies, when you get involved with them, what does it typically look like and how have we arrived there in your own opinion?
Yeah. So a lot of clients, and it's probably representative of the wider market, for them, performance management has been in flux, I would say, about the last 3 years. And people are trying to evolve and change it. And some of them might have tried some new techniques and it might have gone well or not so well, depending on the circumstances. But a lot of them have kind of classic performance management. So, you know, your classic ERP system like your SAP, Oracle or Workday. And they might be running, you know, the traditional formal performance review. So the classic, you know, 1 or 2 year times a year talk. Ratings, calibration, you know, all of the classic performance management that we are all familiar with. And usually what they're trying to do is to evolve that into a much more engaging experience. So they want to introduce areas like CPM, so continuous performance management. So have managers do more regular check-ins, create, you know, strong feedback cultures. A lot of organizations are going more and more agile with their practices, and performance management has fallen behind because so much of performance management was built off linear management relationships. And the assumption behind it was always the boss understands your performance, can give you an assessment, and effectively was the judge and jury of how you did during the year. But that's a little dated compared to how people actually work now, because most Sure. people are sitting in cross-functional teams or matrix environments. They might be on sprints or projects, and they're working in a much more agile way. So actually a whole host of new characters need to come into the performance assessment and need to be able to give feedback and recognize employees when they're doing well. So usually they're trying to almost catch up really with where the organization has gone and try and align their performance processes to that new world, if you like. And that might involve everything, a rethink of everything from how you cascade goals through to how you give feedback, through to who needs to be involved in the process, and everything in between. They're probably changing their rating scales or removing rating scales. They're changing their approach to calibration. So literally everything is usually being rethought out. And our job is to help to make that easy, I guess, and help them match the performance with their culture. Because, you know, some organizations, it can be, you know, they've tried to do things and come unraveled a little bit, you know, so they've removed rating scales too quickly, for example, yeah. And managers aren't ready for that because they don't know how to have great performance conversations. And suddenly it's like, oh, I don't know how to tell him, you know, he's only getting this salary review now in the absence of a rating scale. So, you know, so some organizations have become unstuck with these practices and have kind of got themselves in trouble, and they're trying to reverse engineer aspects of it.
And that's an interesting point. It can be culturally sort of embedded in organizations, how they do it. How do you guys approach that with your clients in terms of just what you've said there, for example? Some, I personally feel it falls down often at a local manager or leader's level, is that they're scared to have a difficult conversation. How do you guys work with your clients to make that more achievable?
Yeah, so what we do, I mean, the first step with any client is to kind of do this cultural diagnostic. So we have a tool that we bring them through where we look at who's your culture today, and they get kind of, we sort of identify them as a particular brand of culture. So you have your reactive cultures, which are very traditional, and, you know, performance management only happens maybe the once a year, and it's very formalized, and feedback doesn't really happen outside of that. Or you might have your structured cultures where feedback happens, you know, frequently, but it happens within the process. And our job is to take them to either a personalized or an organic culture where feedback is comfortable, it's easy, you know, the organization has matured. So the big job is to get managers comfortable with giving feedback and checking in with their people. And, you know, there's a number of ways and interventions that we work with organizations in order to do that. But essentially these things, it's like a muscle. You have to build it up. You have to practice a lot. You know, we expect managers to be great at giving tough feedback, but they only get to do it once or twice a year. You know, so you're never good at anything you only do once or twice a year. So we get them into habits where they're giving feedback in a more regular basis. They're checking in with their people. And as well, they're dealing with the human behind the work, because one of the challenges with check-ins, a lot of organizations introduced them and went, okay, you need to do a monthly or a quarterly check-in with your employees, but they didn't help them navigate those conversations. So of course the check-in descended to the work at hand, you know, and the conversations becomes about the task rather than the human behind the task and, you know, how are you getting on sort of conversations. So we help them navigate, you know, these more constructive conversations. And of course, we have a technology platform that underlies all of this. So it kind of brings them on a sequence of, you know, I often think of our technology as almost like a management whisperer. You know, it's kind of nudging them and coaching them to do the next right thing by their employees. It's like, okay, it's time to talk to Declan about these things, you know, like cover these things in your next check-in, you know, time to give Declan some feedback. How is he doing? You know, it's that kind of stuff that just nudges them into more frequency. So they build up a muscle and a continuity so that actually by the time they're sitting down to do a performance review, it feels very natural and it feels very comfortable because they actually have been talking throughout the year. There's no big surprises. It's not like, Declan, I forgot to tell you, this was a really crappy year for you, you know? So they build up the capability to kind of continuously talk to their people. And that's what we work with organizations on achieving.
And Aisling, what do you think in terms of that sort of regular check-in, that continuous performance management, in your opinion, that whether it be monthly, weekly, whatever it is, what does a good one of them look like?
Yeah, so it's different, I would say, for every organization. What we've seen since COVID is there's a heavier emphasis on well-being. Well-being comes up an awful lot more now because people are dealing with high performers burning themselves out and people just not being okay. You know, the professional isolation that comes with remote working. So actually in the last 6 months in particular, those check-ins have broadened out an awful lot more to address those topics. Just how are you doing? You know, how's things going for you? And taking the time to stop and consider the human behind the work. So before you kind of descend into these goals are going well and these goals aren't, that you're covering off the just how's it going, because sometimes people are feeling really isolated and everyone's had a different experience with COVID and remote working. And, you know, and some extroverts, for example, really struggle. They miss the interaction. They miss that validation that they got in the office, you know, and they need more external validation than maybe introverts. But it's not a perfect experience for anybody. So we help them navigate those well-being conversations. And then we get them to focus, you know, talk about not just the goals and what's been completed, but talk about the progress, recognize the achievements, talk about the behaviors. And we give them a formula for talking about behaviors as well, because sometimes actually high performance comes from great behaviors rather than the execution of goals. So if you can crack those conversations around behavioral change, you can get a lot right. So giving people a language around how you address behaviors without it turning into a personality conversation, that can be a very powerful way of dealing with check-ins as well. So I would say we tailor it to every organization because every organization is slightly differently and we work across industries. So, you know, every industry has its own unique nuances. But for the most part, there's a sequence of considerations that, you know, people should be thinking about when they're having those check-ins.
Very good. Interesting point you made there as well. I was talking to someone quite recently and they were talking about how work from home was being portrayed in the media as this like amazing thing for everyone. And much to what you said there, it's not an amazing thing for everyone. As you said, there might be some very extroverted people who are desperately missing that sort of day-to-day contact with their colleagues. So yeah, it is, it's very different for different people. In your mind, Aisling, in a perfect world, the perfect system, perfect performance rating process, what does that traditional piece that probably everyone who's ever played a part in one hates, that calibration session, where does that now go? I mean, we've all been in those sessions and they're, yeah, no. Sometimes it feels like whoever can shout the loudest gets the high performance rating for one of their team members. How do you avoid that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of changes happening around ratings and calibrations at the moment. And actually, a lot of organizations have just removed it and kind of said, this is not a helpful practice. And what we're going to do is just allocate the budgets down and give them some guidelines around that. So to avoid. Now, to be honest, I don't think there is a perfect solution. I think every organization has to meet its culture where it is and gently move them on to the next stage. So for some organizations, removing calibration is the right thing. For other organizations, that's not the right thing because maybe their managers aren't skilled at understanding what does great performance look like right now. And they're overly lenient toward the right-hand side of the curve, for example. So I don't think there's a perfect answer. I think you have to look at your culture and decide what's really important here. But there's definitely some strong trends happening, and McKinsey talks a lot about this lately in the last, particularly into 2020, they're shouting loud about areas like this. And it's things like softening your ratings. So stop focusing on the minutiae of, you know, whether somebody is, you know, it's kind of like, let's recognize our high performers, let's deal with our low performers, and then let's, you know, thank our good performers. But stop trying to create this artificial differentiation between good performers, because ultimately the budget that lands between that middle section is so inconsequential that you're not motivating anybody with it anyway. And you're creating this storm among managers of, are they slightly better performers than these other good performers or not good performers? So there's a lot of people moving to three-point scales or indeed sliding scales to soften that whole experience. And it's not right for everybody, but there's certainly big trends around that, I would say. And I think the other thing, though, is making sure that HR have a very strong leading role, because I've seen a lot of organizations kind of remove calibration and then the managers go into a room and just do it themselves in a back office scenario. That's your worst case scenario, because then it just becomes this thing that happens, but it happens behind closed doors and HR don't even have a voice at the table anymore. So you have to avoid that, you know, when you make those decisions around changing your practices, that you have buy-in and alignment with your leadership teams behind that, that they're not just going to re-carve out the same practice in a lesser way, actually, than it would have been to begin with. So, you know, that's, you know, there is no perfect answer here is what I would say, but there's definitely some things that you can do to make these practices more effective in your organization and some guidelines that you can put in place to ensure that people are, looking at people as people and not boxes, you know, and dealing with the human. And I would say, if I was to sum up any of the trends that are happening right now, we are getting more and more focused on the humanity in all of this. I think for a period of time, HR were, you know, very taken with boxes and curves and sliding scales, and the CFO loved it. And, you know, we were popular there for a while. But actually, I think what 2020 has done is kind of take us back to all these very human processes and injecting more and more humanity into these processes.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, my experience of those rating calibration sessions is very much what you just alluded to there, is where like 70% of people are in that sort of inverted commas good section, and you're actually just not making anyone happy at all. So that 3-point scale is very interesting and softening the ratings. As we move towards this more humanity-based approach, this more behavioral-based approach, how, for an old school, say CFO, as you just mentioned there, how do you correlate that to the deliverables at the end of the day? The actual work that has to be done for a given organization to deliver on its ultimate goal. So how do you tie that those two things together?
Yeah, I think one of the things we can't lose sight of is that people still need to be held to account. And David Ulrich coined this wonderful phrase, which is positive performance accountability. So he talks a little bit about, you know, I had the good privilege of interviewing him once on a fireside chat. And he talked about, you know, maybe the days of old school ratings are gone because they're a little dated, but actually people still need to know where they stand. So you never want to walk away from that performance conversation that needs to happen. So, you know, how have you been doing? What's going well? What's not going well? And being very, very clear that those conversations happen. And actually, if you introduce practices like continuous performance management, I hate the name, by the way. I just think we've really let ourselves down with that one, haven't we?
Actually, it's a 3-letter acronym. HR wouldn't understand it if it wasn't.
Yeah, it's just that everybody hated performance management, so we decided to continuous reform. But anyway, there's better ways, I think, to term it. But ultimately, you know, when you introduce a more rigor around conversations happening more frequently, you're more likely to be addressing those performance issues. And there's some fantastic research now that shows when you engage in those practices, actually, you get the correlating result on your business performance. And Willis Towers Watson did a lovely piece of work this year where they tracked high-performing organizations and their engagement practices behind it. And it was all this stuff. It was like regular check-ins, feedback, performance conversations. So they can actually correlate stock market performance to HR practices, which is really, you know, really inspiring stuff that we can show the CFO. Actually, if you invest in a strong employee experience, you're going to see the results right through. And I think that evidence is now so much more compelling than it would have been a couple of years ago.
In terms of your own platform, how do you guys approach goal setting, objectives, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so we built Tandem for a much more agile organization. So we looked at the world as it is today, and we built our processes around that. And for us, you know, Tandem is all about creating an engaging experience. It's not about, you know, clunky processes and, you know, once a year goal setting. It's like agile. So it's, you know, goal setting is swift. It's easy to set up, create, edit, delete goals. You can have goals between project managers and teams. You don't have to be a people manager to assign a goal. You know, simple things like that, that works in the way organizations work today. You know, project managers can send feedback. They can check in with their people. You can create your mentoring relationships on it. You know, so the employee has this holistic experience that everything can happen there. So an employee can go in and set up their own goal. You know, they can edit it, they can change it. They can also get feedback on their behaviors and their goals at any time. And we provide them these nice little coaching tips. So where we see that maybe there's a development area for them, we can coach them straight away in the moment to go, hey, how about checking out these programs, these courses, these articles, and so on. So even if the manager isn't the best coach in the world, they're getting a certain level of coaching from Tandem. But it also helps managers become better coaches because it navigates them to do the next right thing. And they have lovely dashboards where they can see, okay, I haven't had a check-in with Declan in a few weeks, it's time. And it will nudge them to give feedback to Declan, to check in with him, to assign him some goals and ensure that those goals are linked to the overarching organizational goals. So he can see his purpose. He can see that line of sight between what he does and how it links to a departmental or an organizational goal. So there's all sorts of kind of ways of creating an experience that feels much more like the individual is growing and developing, because you can do all your development planning on it. You can do your 360 on it. So you can understand, you know, how other people perceive you and learn from that as well. And I think, you know, an awful lot of these practices, and this was something that I used to think about a lot in O2 days, was a lot of these practices are traditionally reserved for top talent or executive pools. You know, they get the 360, they get the coaching, the mentoring, yeah. You know, we give them such a VIP experience. And you know what, it works because these people get promoted and they are the leaders of the future. And, you know, that's how you develop leaders. But what we've done effectively with Tandem is we've just democratized that for everybody so that everybody can have 360 mentoring, coaching, great conversations, career conversations, you know, so that nobody gets left behind. And actually we're developing everybody as we go. And it's that whole concept that, you know, we know this formula works for top talent. We know that's how we drive them. But hey, what if you can give that formula to everybody? Then you know you can drive the performance of the organization as well. So it's not just a, hey, it's nice to engage and inspire everybody. It's like, this should hit your bottom line. You know, that you should see a move in performance. Because if everybody is, it's like that concept, the aggregation of marginal gains. If everybody's getting that little bit more attention, that little bit more development, that little bit more growth, if they're having more performance conversations, then over time all that adds up and they grow quicker, they accelerate quicker, and they perform better. And I think organizations need that now more than ever, because you know the tenure of an employee is now 3 to 4 years. So you don't have 10 years to develop these people.
Yeah.
You've got to develop them quick. You know, you've got to get payback for all that recruitment and onboarding you've done, and you've got to get it quick. So you don't have time really to send them on long training programs and development. You've got to develop them on the spot. And that's what we try and help organizations do.
Excellent. Ashley, just on the 360 feedback, do you want to just talk me through how that works on your platform?
Yeah, sure. So there's two types of 360 feedback. There's your classic 360, which is, you know, you can create anonymous surveys. You can use our behavior library if you like, which has been established by 360 experts, or you can create your own questions or use a hybrid of both. And that would effectively go out to, you know, the employee's peers, or it could be a manager, it could be their peers, their subordinates, and their leaders. And what it does is it looks across the employee's capabilities, behaviors, skill sets, and it asks everybody, you know, how do you think you're doing? And the person gets to rate themselves as well. So ultimately, what you end up with is a spider web graph where you can see how the employee has rated themselves compared to how their peers have rated them, compared to how their subordinates have rated them and their leaders have rated them. And what that derives is a really, really interesting insight, because often what you see, and probably the most common use case, is the employee has rated themselves less than everyone else around them. You know, oh. So they think they're not as good at teamwork or not as good as innovation as everyone else thinks they
interesting.
Are. Interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. Now, some, it's not always that, you know, sometimes they think they're better than they are, you know, so there's different things. But the vast majority of people underrate themselves. And that in itself is huge, because when you don't realize you're as good as you are, you don't have confidence in that area. So they might have rated themselves really low on teamwork, and everyone else thinks they're a great team worker. And then that gives them confidence to be a bigger voice on the team, to collaborate more effectively. And often what you're doing is you're just opening a little window for people and going, hey, you're better than you think you are. You know, you're really good at this stuff. Everybody really appreciates you. And of course there's comments, and you know, they've got these lovely comments from people, or sometimes they'll get really constructive comments where it's like, well, you know, Declan's great, but I wish you'd really focus on these areas. So it allows people to kind of vocalize those things they think about you. And it's that Yahari window stuff, right? It's like it opens up this insight into yourself that you didn't know you've had. And my experience of 360s over the years was, you know, usually they were reserved for the executive layer, but they were great conversations because it opened up a whole conversation about, hey, look how people regard you. And it would drive confidence in that individual, and that confidence would accelerate their development, and that's kind of got them the promotions and so on. So it's a very effective way of excuse me, it's a very effective way of giving people great confidence and inner belief in themselves, but it's also a very effective way of helping people see who they truly are from the perspective of others. So sometimes, you know, they don't realize they're not coming across as a great team worker. They're like, oh, I thought I was a great team worker because, you know, I go to the pub every Friday with my friends. Like, no, but that doesn't really make you a great team worker. You know, so you can have those constructive conversations. So that's one form of 360 on tandem. The other form is, and this is really interesting and has accelerated greatly in the last 6 months, we're seeing more and more peers coming into the performance review process, because what's happening is people are in their homes doing their tasks and the managers can't see, did that take 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months to complete? You know, they've no sense of, you know, what's entailed in the workload behind. We can't visibly see, we can't work with the powers of observation anymore. So all that's been taken away and the manager can't actually see, you know, the full scope of your performance achievements. So they're needing to go to your colleagues and needing to ask, you know, how was Declan to work with? You know, how, you know, how is there anything you've noticed about his performance? And they're needing to go to a wider stakeholder. And we also see them needing to go to a lot more third parties, which I think is really interesting. We're seeing this a lot on Tandem, is that it's not just internal people anymore being asked how's Declan's performance, but actually suppliers and vendors and contractors that you might be working with are being asked. So there's this much more 360 assessment of your performance now. Like before, the manager, maybe he went around the office and he asked a couple of your colleagues or some stakeholders that you worked with, how's Declan to work with? And he got kind of an informal view. But now all that has kind of come in a much more holistic way into the performance process. So like in on Tandem, you can send out a multi-rater, you can request feedback on other people. And from that, they can give a much more broader perspective of how your performance on. So the manager is going in much more equipped to have a good performance conversation with you.
Almost crowdsourcing the your overview of the person, which is quite interesting. Is the feedback anonymous, Aisling, or is it named?
It can be both. Okay. Yeah, it can be both. So you can look for anonymous feedback or you can have direct feedback on Tandem, and both are encouraged because different circumstances require different ways. You know, sometimes it's nice to just send somebody feedback and appreciate them for their efforts, or send them feedback and give them some constructive feedback. And the beauty of those direct relationships is they build trust. You know, so if I'm giving you feedback and you're giving me feedback, over time, you know, that really develops and embeds our relationship. We get more honest with each other. And if we have that kind of honest relationship, we not only trust each other, but we trust each other enough to start, you know, sharing ideas with each other and bouncing off things. So now you have not just the rise of collaboration, but the rise of innovation in your organization. So direct feedback can be a huge trigger for cultural change. But there are moments in time when it's appropriate for it to be anonymous. You know, if somebody wants to say something, but maybe they would never quite say it, but they're like, well, I think it would really help Declan if he focused on these areas. You know, those kind of more constructive conversations, sometimes people are more comfortable giving it anonymously. So I think there's place for both, and Tandem facilitates both.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, my preference always is that even within my own teams that they give each other direct feedback. I think it's probably one of the key traits of a high performing team is that open and honest ability to talk about these things. But I do agree with you. There are moments when it's probably best left anonymous. Aisling, I just want to bring you back to something you mentioned earlier on. You mentioned about those coaching interventions that a manager might get to prompt them maybe to coach someone on a particular topic or on a particular thing, or to check in with someone. How do they work? Like what sort of coaching inputs would the system or would your platform give?
Yeah, so there's a variety, but there's simple things like, for example, as you are getting more and more feedback, Tandem aggregates a profile for you. So it starts to recognize that, you know, you are, for example, maybe great on teamwork, but maybe you lack innovation or leadership or these sorts of areas. And you start to see yourself through the lens of the company values. So often we'll customize it into the organization's company values, and it starts to build up a coaching profile of you. So straight away, you as an employee can see, oh, okay, I'm really strong on these areas, but not many people see leadership in me, for example. And maybe that's okay. Maybe you're not a leader, but maybe you want to be the team lead in a year's time, and you want to, you know, you want to be able to work toward that. So how do you influence people's perception around you? And here's the reality, and being a HRD for so many years, you see this. People are capable of everything. You know, potential is infinite, but sometimes perception of you can hold you back. You know, you come in as a junior and people perceive you as a junior and you're trying to move your career up, but how do you get that leadership role that you really want? You know, how do you start to change people's perception? Tandem will start giving you coaching tips around, okay, if leadership is important to you and if people don't perceive you as a leader, here's the kind of things that you can do to, you know, enhance your leadership capability. And the manager can also see your coaching dashboard, so they can, it prompts the manager to go and have a development conversation with you. And so that will generate a development plan for you. So you can see that, hey, you know, I'm going to go on this course, I'm going to sign up to the early leaders course, I'm going to go get a mentor. So all of these various interventions can be suggested. And again, we have a lot of tips built by professional coaches, but you can use your own tips as well. So, you know, if you want to link it to your e-learning platform, or, you know, if you want to download TED Talks that are interesting or whatever it might be, you can do that and house it all in the platform. So, you know, so by this way, both parties are going into those development discussions and they both know what they want to work on. So the employee can take the lead in the conversation. They're not passively sitting back waiting for the manager to say, hey, I don't think you're going to get the team lead role. You know, the employee's already going in knowing that there's a gap there. And so they can look at their coaching report and go, do you know what? I can see that people don't see me as a leader, but I see me as a leader in the future. So how do I close that gap? How do I create a development plan that really gets me there? So it's about employees kind of taking ownership of their own development and not being a passive passenger on this journey, waiting for somebody to sort it out for them. Because chances are the leader doesn't even know you want to be a team lead. Mm. You know, you've got to inject that into the conversation. And I suppose Tandem just gives them an easy way of doing that.
Yeah, I've talked recently to colleagues or to members of my team about, you know, employee brand and how they're, but it's touching on what you're talking about there about how people are perceived and without getting that feedback, without reaching out for that feedback or having a system that delivers you that feedback. Sometimes people are absolutely blind to how they're perceived within an organization. Oh, 100%. So that is powerful in itself. Anything really innovative in this area that you've seen or that you guys are working on?
Yeah. We have some really cool new analytics features. And this has been a real hit with a lot of our clients and indeed some people who are onboarding with us. And it's effectively an employee experience map. And one of the challenges, I think, of employee experience today is it can be quite reactive in nature. You know, people send an engagement survey or pulse surveys and they check in with people and they go, how are you all feeling? And are you happy with your leadership and the organization? And all those classic engagement questions. And then they see all the hotspots, you know, they see kind of, okay, these areas, you know, marketing's doing great or this country's doing great, but this country not so well. And they're digging in. And by the time you've done all the analysis and so on, people have moved on. And particularly in the COVID period, engagement was very high at the earlier stages of the period because people felt very well looked after by their organizations. There was a lot of care and humanity and outpouring of, you know, goodness, I think, at the beginning of COVID. But then the mood started to change, you know, and people started to change week to week. They were getting, you know, frustrated. They were feeling professional isolation. It's like, I'm not being invited to the right meetings. My manager hasn't talked to me in 2 weeks, you know. So all these frustrations started to appear. And the thing is, you can't pulse your people every week to figure out what's going on, because then people start to suffer survey fatigue and they stop answering it. And it's like, oh, this is nonsense, you know. So it's like, how can we change, flip the employee experience on its head and predictively assess what the employee experience is? And that's what we've done in Tandem. We've created these heat maps and these analytics where you can insightfully go in and see where in your organization is likely to be complaining about areas like leadership or growth and development or purpose or community, that sense of belonging, which is so, so important now. Because I often think right now, we're all more acting more akin to freelancers than employees, because we're sitting in our own desks in our own homes and we work at our own pace and we might do it late at night or we might do it in the morning, but actually we're all working around juggling a myriad of activities. So in that kind of freelancer context where we're not all together in the same tribe, in the same office, how can we create that sense of belonging and community? And it's so, so important right now. So we help organizations through all that, but we help them with the analysis and heat map their whole organization so we can predictively say, this is going to be a hotspot in your next employee survey. And of course, the beauty is that you can run your employee surveys from Tandem so we can correlate and see, yeah, we knew growth and development was going to be a problem. It is a problem and we need to intervene here. And we can bring that right down to the level of which country, which region, which department, which employees even. So you can really pinpoint where the problems lie and where you need to put your interventions. Because I think one of the challenges with HR in the past is we tend to broad brush our interventions. We're like, okay, this is, you know, teamwork. We all want people to be hugely collaborative. Let's tell the whole organization to be hugely collaborative. And we put on these teamwork interventions to help. But actually what Tandem does is it shows you, actually, these countries are fine. They're collaborating great. You don't need to worry about them. Just focus your energies here in this country, this department, this region, you know, so they can really kind of be targeted with their interventions and stop, you know, annoying the whole organization with their with their interventions. So yeah, so I think that that's some really cool stuff happening around employee experience, and people are really starting to rethink what does employee experience mean in this world. And it's really exciting. I think the beauty of right now is it's like HR just got this license to reinvent everything, because the organizations are looking to us. You know, they're kind of, you know, really looking at us to come up with answers to how do we make sure our employees stay engaged, productive, high performing in a very changed world. So we get to change it all right now, or we get to improve it all, and we get to do all the things that we would have loved to do, but it was hard to do in the past. So I think it's a really cool time to be in HR.
And on that very positive note, Aisling, do you want to give your contact details so anyone listening can get in contact if they'd like to discuss our Tandem or anything we've discussed today?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, you're always very welcome to link in with me at any point, or you can check out our website, ourtandem.com. That's ourtandem.com. So we look forward to hearing from anyone who'd like to continue the conversation.
Brilliant. Aisling, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Great to talk to you, Declan.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.